You've likely heard over and over again that Facebook advertising is an affordable and effective way for churches to reach their communities. But getting started can be intimidating. And if you're a ministry working with a small budget, the last thing you want to do is waste money. This episode of the MyCom Church Marketing Podcast is the first of two parts on Facebook advertising. And today, we'll walk you through what you need to know to get started with advertising on Facebook. Thank you, everybody, for listening. My name is Dan Wunderlich. I'm a United Methodist pastor, and my co-host is our Methodist marketing guru, Darby Jones. How are you doing today, Darby?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I am wonderful. I always like to start by asking Darby a question, and my question for him today is, Darby, has a Facebook ad ever worked on you? Have you ever been enticed into clicking on one of those sponsored posts on Facebook?
One time. I didn't think I would. I specifically ignore them and turn off my peripheral vision so that I can't see those ads, and I have ad blockers. But somehow this ad sneaked into my radar, and it was a spider capo, which is for guitars. And so you use a normal capo to put across your fret so that you can play in higher keys. And this spider capo, you could individually press each string or different combinations of strings, allowing like just thousands of different guitar tuning combinations, and kind of blew me away. And they definitely targeted me. They knew I play guitar. I don't know how, some creepy Facebook Big Brother thing. And it worked, and I've got a spider capo, and someday I'll probably use it.
That's awesome. I am a sucker for to-do list and productivity apps. Even though I have a to-do list program that I've used for the last couple years and I am happy with it, I just am an early adopter. So whenever I see an ad go by for some new productivity, teamwork, or to-do list app, I'm always clicking on them. So they know how to get me. And what we're talking about today is how you can, in a wonderful and moral and above board way, entice your community to look at your Facebook ads and maybe get involved in your ministry. Now, we want to begin with two caveats in today's episode. And the first is that anytime we're talking about anything related to social media, things can change all the time. If I were to specifically tell you what screen to go to and what button to press, by the time we finish editing this episode and delivering it to you, and by the time you listen to it, there is a good chance that that button may have moved. And some of the options that we talk about today may not still be there, or there may be more options than what we talk about today. That's just the nature of social media. Also, advertising costs and advertising environments change all the time. And this is especially true with Facebook right now because they have a major change to their algorithm, which is something we discussed in a previous episode of the podcast. And so there's a lot of things in flux on Facebook right now, but the information we share in today's episode is accurate to the best of our knowledge for early 2018. And acknowledging that things change on social media is something that we would have to do in virtually every episode. But the reason that I wanted to be sure to do it today leads us to our second caveat, and that is that advertising costs money. And so when you listen to today's episode and you begin to explore things like Facebook ads, I want you to make sure that you understand your budget and understand your community first. Because the truth is, Facebook will take your money whether your ad has the potential for success or not. If you hit show this ad to people, Facebook will gladly charge your credit card and show that ad to some folks. But the questions you need to ask yourself are things like, do people in your community actually use Facebook to learn about new things? If all they use it for is interacting with each other or looking at family pictures, then maybe Facebook advertising isn't the best option for you. Facebook ads algorithms also work best if you have a relatively dense population area. So if you're in the suburbs or you're in the city or even in a rural area sort of near the suburbs of a town, it might still be an effective thing for you. But if you're in a sparsely populated area, it's going to be harder for Facebook to effectively deliver your ad to the kinds of folks that you're wanting to reach. And then lastly, of course, you need to understand your own church budget. All right, so let's ask our first question for today's episode, and that is, why should we use Facebook ads? Darby, we have some articles on MyCom all about Facebook ads and sort of general approaches to them, including some written by yourself.
Yes, I'll just touch briefly on them because we're going to cover a lot of that in this podcast, but you can look out for them in the show notes and searching online. But should your church advertise on Facebook? Part one. is a great article. And then How to Reach Newcomers to Your Area with Facebook Ads is a great, great article about how to target specifically all the people coming to your community and all the benefits that Facebook Ads offers you to reach out to them. And we'll talk a little bit about that in this podcast as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So here are some of the reasons why you might want to consider using Facebook ads for your ministry. And the first thing is that Facebook is where the people are. According to new research done by Pew and released in January 2018, 68% of American adults use Facebook. And if you knew that there were a place in your town where 7 out of 10 people would be on a regular basis, you would find some way to have a presence there. And so if 68% of American adults are using Facebook, it's a pretty great place to be active. And it's a place certainly to at least consider investing in with advertising. And to just offer a comparison, the second biggest social network is Instagram, and that's at 35% usage among American adults. Now, there are some messaging apps in between Facebook and Instagram. So if you see some charts, you might see Facebook and then Messenger and WeChat and some other messaging apps in between. But as far as what we think of as traditional social networks, Facebook is far and away the biggest and most active one, which is the number one reason why you want to consider advertising there. The second reason is that it costs less, at least as of right now. Facebook ad prices do rise over time, and they are expected to rise more as Facebook has tightened up the newsfeed algorithm and media and journalism companies may be turning to more paid advertising to try to generate traffic that will increase demand, which will increase the price. But at least for now and for hopefully the near future, it remains a very cost-effective option. I mean, just think about it. For the price of 2 stamps, you can boost a post on your Facebook page and reach hundreds of people, if not more, because if you're able to reach some people through boosted posts and then they begin to engage in the post, then your organic reach starts to go back up. And so it can really cycle on itself. So like I said, it costs less than a lot of other options, things like direct mail. Thirdly, where Facebook begins to be really interesting and really valuable is that you can target who sees your ad. What makes Facebook ads so valuable in this regard, regardless of the cost, is that you can target exactly the people who you want to reach. And we'll talk about this a little bit later in the episode, but the article that Darby mentioned about reaching newcomers to your community, you can create an audience of people who have told Facebook that they've moved within the last 6 months. And so you can target an ad to new residents in your community and invite them to church. This is the kind of targeting that you can do on Facebook, but you can't do with a postcard. You can't do it with the yellow pages. You can't do it with a billboard. These are the kind of targeting tools and techniques and strategies that make Facebook advertising so valuable. Next, you can track your results. You can see exactly how many people saw your ad and how many people responded to your ad. You can't do that with a postcard. You can send a mailer to everyone in your area, but you'll never know how many people actually looked at the postcard and how many people threw it in the recycle bin. And you may be able to talk to your new visitors and find out how many of them showed up thanks to your postcard, but you'll never be able to see how many people went to your website as a result of that postcard. So you can track results through Facebook ads. And then this is something that we'll get into in part 2, which is going to be a little bit more advanced, but there is retargeting. So targeting is on the front end. Who do we want to reach? Retargeting is sending new ads to people who have some sort of relationship with you on Facebook or who have taken an action thanks to your first ad. So you can do things like send ads to people who are already fans of your page, or you can send ads to people who have visited specific pages on your website. So for example, you could invite your community to Easter worship and have a link to a page on your website with information about Easter worship. Well, as long as you have a few things set up that we'll talk about in part 2, you can then send a new ad to people who have been to the Easter page on your website and just remind them of the date and the time and how excited you are that they're considering coming. This kind of retargeting, again, is really only available through digital advertising like Facebook. It's certainly not something you can do with a phone book or with a postcard or with a billboard or yard signs or anything like that. So it's some of these digital tools that make Facebook advertising such an effective and attractive option for churches.
One thing I'd like to add is how we at UMCOM use this retargeting feature. We've had massive success looking at the people who filled out a form, and our marketing automation software gives us a list of those people. And then we upload that list to Facebook, and then Facebook sends us highly targeted ads just to those people. And so if you can find lists, various community lists, you can target whatever their interest is. And so you should be on the lookout for these different types of lists that you can use to provide to Facebook.
Absolutely. And retargeting is so excited, and I've got so many ideas running through my head, but I'm going to do my best to hold on to them for part two, because we want to keep this first episode nice and basic. And so let's go ahead and move on to two basic ways that you can advertise on Facebook. You really do have two options. And the first one is something we mentioned earlier, and that's boosting a post. This is the easiest way to begin. You can go to any of the posts that you make from your page, and there's usually a little button there that says boost post. When you do that, you're able to define your audience. You can set your budget. You can set a time frame. And then you say, go ahead. And then it begins to show that post to more people who are included in the audience that you have defined. Now, I will say that this is not the most effective way to reach new people. However, it can be a way of monetarily combating the changes to the Facebook algorithm. So one of the changes to the Facebook algorithm is that posts from pages like our church pages are going to be shown to fewer people. But if we boost the post, we're essentially paying Facebook to show it to more people. So it's a way to essentially use our advertising budget to get some of our reach back. But in general, every once in a while, you'll get a notification from Facebook that says, this post is producing X percent of time better than your other posts, or this post is just doing gangbusters. Click here to boost this post. Make sure that you are making decisions based on the data that you have and the strategy that you have, and not just the notifications from Facebook. Because like I said in the intro, Facebook will take your money whether it's a good idea or not. If you agree to boost a post, they're going to charge your credit card and they're going to start showing it to other people. So don't just respond to that little red number one in the corner enticing you to advertise. If you're going to boost a post, make sure it's because you really want more people to see this particular post and it's part of your advertising strategy. So that's boosting a post. But then, of course, the more traditional way is to create an ad from scratch. And you use an area of Facebook called the Ads Manager to create an ad from scratch, or you can create an ad using an existing post, which is sort of like boosting a post, but you end up getting more options. So instead of hitting the boost post button, you would go into Ads Manager, you would click the create an ad button, you would define all of the audience and the budget and the schedule and things. And then when you get to the creative part, instead of designing a new ad, there's a section that you would hit that says use an existing post. The reason you might want to do that is if you have a post that already has a lot of likes or comments and shares, by using an existing post, it keeps all of that information. We call it social proof. It keeps all of that information tied to that post so that when people see your ad, it's sort of like putting a couple dollars in the tip jar, you know, at the coffee shop. So it sort of gets the ball rolling. But when you create an ad from scratch, you have many more options than when you boost a post, which is why oftentimes I recommend that folks create an ad from scratch. It also gives your ad a higher potential for success because the variables that you can dial in when you create an ad versus boosting a post are things that Facebook are going to use to try to reach the kind of people you're looking for. You can also create an ad out of an event. So if you are a church that likes to use Facebook events and you're trying to get those in front of more people, you can create events out, or you can create advertisements out of events, and you would do this from the event page itself.
Another thing to point out, it's good to be successful with your ads, not just because you'll reach more people, but also because Facebook will charge you less money for those clicks. Facebook makes money off the clicks. If you're getting lots of clicks, they charge you a lower price. If you're an advertiser that's not doing so great, they're going to raise the price on your clicks. So
that's exactly right. That's exactly right. Because really, Facebook is trying to ensure that its users have a positive experience so that they come back. And so if you have an ad that's really attractive and it adds to the Facebook experience, they're going to charge you less because it's helping them meet their mission. Where if you create an ad that's not as successful, they're going to charge you more because it's actually detracting from the experience of the people using Facebook. Well, when you begin to create ads, there are three levels to Facebook ads. So there's sort of like a three-tier structure, different umbrellas where you'll make different decisions. The top, like 30,000 foot level is called the campaign. And this is where you set your objective. So you ask yourself, what are we trying to do? Are we trying to get people to church on a Sunday? Are we trying to get people to a back to school event? Are we trying to let people know about a new sermon series that's coming up? Are we trying to get people to like our page? Are we trying to get people to click over to our website and read a blog post? That is the objective level, and that is known as the campaign. Then within the campaign are what's known as ad sets. And the ad set level is where you define things like your audience, your budget, your schedule, and where those ads show up. It's known as delivery. That's at the ad set level. And the reason that it's called a set is because within that ad set, you can have multiple ads. And the ads are where you design your actual creative, the image or video that you're going to use, the text that you're going to use, the call to action button, and where that links to. That's all at the ad level. At its most simplest form, you're going to have one ad within one ad set within a campaign. But you can make things a little bit more detailed. Let's say that you have a campaign where you're trying to get parents to come to a back to school event. You would then have an ad set where you set your audience and you say, I would like to reach parents. Well, you can even segment it further and say, I'd like to reach dads and I'd like to reach moms. And you can set these audiences within the ad set level. And then in your ads, you might have different creative. So for ads that are aimed at dads, you might have a picture of a father and a child. And ads that are aimed at moms, you might have a picture of a mother and a child. And that's the example of how you might have more than one ad within an ad set. So there's just three different levels: campaigns, ad sets, and ads. So if we're wanting to create an ad from scratch, our first step would be determining our objective. Before you spend any money, you should think through your strategy. What is it that you're trying to accomplish? We gave a few examples just a minute ago. By selecting the proper ad objective, not only will some of the options in designing the ad be tailored to that objective, but Facebook will actively attempt to show your ad to the kind of audience that will generate the results that you're looking for. So Facebook is constantly tracking what we are doing when we're on Facebook. And for example, it sounds like Darby is not the kind of person that clicks on ads. If he's only clicked on one ad in his entire life, if someone is running an ad with the objective of getting clicks, Facebook is less likely to show it to Darby because they know that Darby doesn't click on ads. But I said, I am a sucker for these types of things and I click on ads all the time. And so if there's a company that's trying to reach people who are willing to click on ads, they're much more likely to show it to me than to Darby. So if we set our objective correctly, it not only helps us design the ad properly, but it helps Facebook show it to the right kind of people. There are three different overhangs of objectives or three different categories of objectives. The first one is awareness, and that's simply getting as many people to see your posts as possible. Within awareness, the two objectives you can choose from are brand awareness and reach. Brand awareness is reaching people who might be interested in your product. So for example, this capo company asked to see people who might be interested in guitar equipment, and Facebook somehow knew that Darby was into guitar, and so they showed him this post because it's something he might be interested in. If you choose reach as your goal, then it's simply going to show as many people as possible. It's just to get your ad in front of as many eyeballs as possible, and that's the awareness. The second category is known as consideration. It's about creating a connection or delivering information. Some of the objectives under consideration are things like traffic, which is sending people to another website. So if you're trying to send people to your website to sign up for an event or to read a blog post, you would select traffic as your objective. There's engagement. Maybe you're not trying to get people to leave Facebook, but rather you want them to like or comment or share on a post. You might select engagement as your objective, and Facebook is going to show that ad to people who are more likely to take those actions. There are things like app installs for people who have their own apps, video views, lead generation, messages, encouraging people to write to you on Facebook Messenger. That's all under consideration, which is the second of the three objective categories. The third one is conversion. We're not going to get into that now because that's much more for commercial customers, people who are selling things. But those are some objectives that you could look at. Generally, if you are a church and you are beginning with Facebook advertising, you're going to stick within the awareness or the consideration categories. After you select your objective, we move on to audiences, where we answer the question, who will see this ad? And the ability to set up specific audiences is one of the biggest reasons to use Facebook ads. And you can be as general or as detailed as you want. And the level of detail will affect how many people will be eligible to see the ad and how effectively Facebook can be in delivering those ads. So for example, if we say we want to reach males age 18 to 24 in this zip code who own a home and who have children, that's going to be a much smaller group of people than if you just say, I'd like to reach women age 35 to 44 or whatever the age brackets are. The wider your audience, the more people might see it, but the less effectively targeted it might be. But if you make your audience too detailed and too small, then Facebook can't deliver that effectively as well. And so as you are creating your audiences, there's a little graphic on the right side of the screen. It sort of looks like a fuel gauge in your car. And there is a needle that shows you where your audience fits in too detailed versus too broad. And you want to make sure that that needle falls in that green area in the middle, which says your audience is big enough to find some people, but also specific enough to be people that you care about. And now you can create your audience as you create your ad, or within the ad manager, there is an area where you can create audiences separately. And that might sound a little confusing, but it's just basically, do you want to create your audiences in a standalone setting? Or if you're creating an ad from scratch, you know exactly who you want to reach, you can go ahead and create the audience within the ad creation process. Well, here are some of the demographics and information that you can use to limit your audience. First, you can choose a location. And this obviously limits your audience by geography. You can define the areas where your ad will show up. And you can do it by city name. You can do it by zip codes. You can even do it by distance from an address or a pinned location. So if you know the address of your church, you can put that in and then say, I want to reach everybody within 10 miles of here, because perhaps 10 miles is how far you think people are willing to drive to come to your church. And so you certainly want to set up this location first. This is probably the most important definition for churches with Facebook ads, because if you are a church in Georgia, you don't want your ads being shown to people who live in Colorado. You want to make sure that it's shown to people in your area who are likely or much more likely to come to your church. You can also define age and gender. You can set language. So let's say that you have an English as a second language class that you're advertising on Facebook, or maybe you have a Spanish language service or a Korean language service. You can set up the language of the audience that you want to reach. So those are some of the audience by demographic information. There is also a section that gets even more detailed, and it's called detailed targeting. This is where the true power of Facebook ads really resides, because you can target things like whether or not someone has children and even break down the age of the kids. So let's say you have an event coming up that's targeted at elementary schoolers. You can create an ad for parents of elementary schoolers. You can also target life events. One that we mentioned earlier is recently moved. If people have changed their hometown within the last 6 months, they're going to show up as people on Facebook who have recently moved. Go ahead, Darby.
And let me say, if you combine those two filters, you can get the ultimate target. People who have moved and have kids. I mean, one of the first things people do when they move is look for activities for their kids. And this can be a really effective way to reach people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Some other life events that you can target include being newly engaged or newly married. So maybe you have some sort of relationship or marriage workshop or conference or retreat coming up. You can target people who fall within those categories. You can also target based on job title and on education level, or even by certain interests and opinions. This is obviously, all of these options are available to every advertiser, so not all of them are going to be relevant to your church. And again, the more levels that you pile on top of each other, the smaller the audience gets. And there comes a point in time where it's too small to effectively reach them. But like Darby said, you can create really powerful combinations like parents with elementary schoolers who have moved to the area within the last 6 months. That's maybe a group that you want to target in July or August or early September for some sort of back to school event at your church. That is the type of audience that you can reach with Facebook ads that you can't reach with mailers, with billboards, with Yellow Pages ads, things like that. You can also define your audience by connections. You can specify if you want the ads limited to people who like your page or friends of people who like your page. You can even flip it and exclude people who like your page. Now you say, Dan, why would you want to exclude people who like your page? Well, maybe you're showing an ad for an event that you know your church members already know about. So showing them is going to be a waste of money. So instead, you target a certain age group, a certain demographic within your area, and then you exclude people who already like your page. It ensures that Facebook is showing these ads to people who are less likely to already know about your event. So Darby, you gave us a really great example, parents of elementary schoolers that live in the area. What are some other audiences that might make sense for churches to build?
You might target college-age students for some more adventurous events that your church puts on. You might target people who would be interested in small groups. I don't know if you can target people who are lonely and looking for some kind of connection in the community, but I'm sure there's a way. Can you think of how Facebook might do that?
I'm not so sure about moods and things like that, but let's say that you are doing a book study of a certain author. There are chances that if the author is a big enough author, maybe someone like Max Lucado or Bob Goff or Adam Hamilton, if you're doing a book study with an author, you might be able to run ads inviting people to a small group if they're already fans of the author. And it doesn't even necessarily have to be a Christian author. Let's say that there is a certain author that is kind of reaches the demographic of people that you would like to have in your church. You can run ads to people who are fans of that author or fans of a certain sports team or fans of a certain television show. You can really begin to think creatively, and it doesn't just have to be, we want to invite parents because our church has an event for parents. You might say, we want to reach young people, and we know that young people who, so let's take an example. There is a show on NBC called The Good Place, and it is all about the afterlife. It's all about philosophy, and it is not a specifically Christian show, but if you're watching that show, you're likely watching it because you're open to conversations about philosophy and about the afterlife and about morality and about becoming a better person. So even though that show might not be specifically targeted towards Christians and it might not be a Christian show, if you use a Facebook ad to target people who are fans of The Good Place, chances are your ads are being shown to people who are open to conversations or the kinds of conversations that you would be having in small groups at churches. What do you think about that, Darby?
I think that's brilliant. That's a great idea. Yeah, if you can look at all the filters that Facebook provides for audience and then just try and make those connections to your different ministries and events, then you can start targeting and really just brainstorming all the possibilities.
Well, like we said, you can create these kinds of audiences. All of these options are available when you're creating an audience as you create an ad. But if you go to the section of the ads manager where you're creating standalone audiences that you can then apply to ads later, you have a few more options. When you click the create an audience button, you're given three options. Saved audiences include all of the options we just discussed. So all of those things, demographics, interests, behavior, those things are under saved audiences. Well, there's two other types of audiences that you can create here that you cannot create when you're doing it through the ad creation process. The first is called custom audiences. And custom audiences allow you to build audiences based on connections you have with people. So you can upload what they call a customer file, which may be your email list or a list of people exported from the program you use to track membership. You can also use the Facebook Pixel, which we will detail in part two, to track people who have visited your website. This creates lists of people who, like I said, are in your email database or who have been to your website. A new option as of this recording is called engagement, which lets you create audiences of people who have engaged with your content on Facebook or Instagram, such as watching videos, interacting with your page, or interacting with your Facebook events. And you can imagine, Darby, that targeting an ad at people who have engaged with your posts, they might be more open to your ad than people who have no idea who you are.
Oh, yeah. This opens the doors for so many different things, so many different retargeting possibilities.
The last kind of audience that I find really interesting are called lookalike audiences. And this is where you ask Facebook to find people who are similar to folks who are in an audience you have already created. So let's say that you create an audience of people who like your Facebook page. This is literally just a roster of everyone who has clicked the like button to follow your Facebook page. Well, after you create and save that audience, you can ask Facebook to create a lookalike audience, which is going to create a list of people who are similar to the folks who already like your page. And this can be really powerful because people who like your page are genuinely interested in your church. And obviously, you want to find people who are like these folks. You want to find people who might also be interested in your church. And this is where lookalike audiences can be really powerful. Well, once you've selected your audience, we move on to placement, schedule, and budget, which is essentially asking, where does this ad show up? When does it show up? And how much are we going to be spending on it? So the placements determine where the ad shows up. And I would highly recommend hitting the edit placements. There are a lot of things on this screen that we are going to leave in their default position. But especially if you're just starting out, the placements is something I'm going to encourage you to edit. So click on edit placements, and here you can specify where exactly you want your ads to show up. You can say we want it to show up to mobile users or desktop users or both. You can set which platforms your ads show up on. And just to make it simple, if you are a church that is just starting out, I would hit edit placements and then I would turn off everything except for the feeds line under Facebook. This will limit your ad placements to just Facebook news feeds because there's lots of places that Facebook can show your ads and you don't know if they're going to be effective. You don't really know where they are. They're a little bit harder to manage. So if you're just starting out, hit edit placements, uncheck everything except feeds under the Facebook column. Well, once you've got placements set, we move on to your budget where you can control how much money gets spent. And there are two options. You can set up a daily budget or you can set up a lifetime budget. And be sure, especially if you're using a daily budget, you're going to want to set an end date because obviously that daily budget is going to refresh every day. For beginners, we're going to leave things like bid amount, when you get charged, delivery types, all these options we're going to leave in their default setting. But I would recommend for churches maybe selecting a lifetime budget rather than a daily budget. That way you can be sure this is the most amount of money we're going to spend on this ad campaign. And if you select lifetime budget, it also gives you some more options under the scheduling section. And this lets you determine what days and what times your ads are shown. For example, if you're running an ad to try to get people to show up to your Sunday services, you might want to consider running those ads from, say, Wednesday afternoon or Thursday morning through early Sunday morning. This is the time of the week that people are more likely to be open to thinking about what church they're attending on the weekend. If you see an ad inviting you to worship on Monday morning, you're probably not going to take an action on that ad because the next Sunday seems so far away. But if you see that ad on, let's say, a Thursday afternoon or a Friday morning, it's going to be much more effective. And that ability to set a schedule like that only comes when you select a lifetime budget. The next step is to go ahead and design your ad. We're now into the creative step. What does your ad look like? And like we said, you can use an existing post or you can start from scratch. So why might you use an existing post? Well, if you have a post you wanted to boost, but you wanted a little bit more control over the objective, the audience, and similar details, you might want to use an existing post rather than boosting it. Also, if you have a post that has a lot of social proof, which is the likes and comments and shares, this is a way of keeping that social proof tied to the ad. What's interesting too is that your ad essentially becomes a post on your wall as well. So let's say that you create an ad from scratch, it gets a lot of great social proof. It gets a lot of great engagement, a lot of great feedback. You can create another ad using that same post under the existing post menu. And also, you have the ability to add a call to action button to an existing post, which can be really effective. If you're creating an ad from scratch, you have a couple different format options. The first is a carousel, and that's a series of two or more images and or videos, and each individual image or video has an outbound link. Now, this is effective for major blog sites or e-commerce sites where they have multiple projects, multiple products or multiple blog posts that they want you to check out. It's maybe a little bit less effective for churches, but it is an option. There's the single image setting, which is exactly what it sounds like. There's the single video format, which is exactly what it sounds like. There's a slideshow where you can select some photos from your Facebook page and it creates a video slideshow. And then collection and full screen experience, those are beyond the scope of today's podcast. If you're a church just starting out, likely you're going to want to start with a single image or single video, maybe a slideshow. Those are ad formats that are going to be easier for beginners to get going with. And you can customize the images or videos. You can add the text that appears above the image or video, like the text of a traditional post. You can customize the headline and the description text, which appears below the image, and it adds a link to your ad. You can customize the call to action button on the ad, and you can set where that ad will link to on your site if it's an outbound link. So let's say you have a traffic objective. You have an ad advertising your Easter Sunday morning service. You can have a call to action button that says learn more, and then that button takes people directly to the page on your website with information about the Easter service. That's all information and design options that you can customize as you're creating your ad. Now, a couple tips for ad design. Facebook really does not like images that are filled with text. Your ad can actually be rejected, or they can limit the reach of your ad if your photo has too much information. So for example, if you are creating an ad for your Easter sunrise service, it's not a good idea for your image to be like a poster, you know, where it has the date and the time and all that stuff. Include that information in the text of the post and let the image itself be really compelling. Maybe it's the image of your sermon graphic, or it's the image of a cross at sunrise. Images that have fewer or no words oftentimes perform better. Facebook likes those better. Facebook users also love images of people. We all love seeing smiling people, especially when it comes to the church. So consider taking some good-looking photographs of smiling people at your church. You can use the text and the headlines to be engaging, but you certainly want to be laid back. Remember that Facebook is a social experience. It's where we connect with our family and friends. You don't want to sound too institutional or too uptight. Ask a question, make an invitation, sound like a human. And when you're writing the text of your ads, you want to focus on the needs, the wants, and the problems of the people reading the ad. Remember, people are not looking at the ad for our benefit. They're looking at it for their benefit. They're only going to click on it if it's interesting to them. So as you're crafting the headlines and the text and the imagery of your ads, make sure it focuses on the person reading the ad. And of course, be sure to customize it to the audience that you're trying to reach. Make sure it fits the style of the people that you've asked Facebook to show the ad to. Darby, do you have any final thoughts for our intrepid listeners as they head off into this wild adventure of advertising on Facebook?
Just to reiterate what you were talking about, having too much text on an image, maybe as you're designing ads or posts in Instagram or some other application, you might have times of the event or other information on the ads, it's good to just to go ahead and make another copy of that promotion without so many ads, especially if you know ahead of time you're going to be creating a Facebook ad, and think about putting that text in the description. I've gotten many, many Facebook ads rejected for that reason, just having too much text. And Facebook has told us ads without text perform better. So just do what Facebook says.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And even including those kinds of details like date and time within the text of the ad itself, the text that appears above the image, that might seem like a good idea because we're thinking, oh, well, people will have all the information that they need. But it's probably a better approach to try to get people intrigued enough about your Easter service to go ahead and click that link and then include that information on your website. Because you have just a few moments. Remember, people are not going to be studying your Facebook ads. They're going to be scrolling through their phone. And so this is certainly something to keep in mind. What is going to stop people from scrolling? And if they stop scrolling, what kind of text is going to make them interested enough to try to figure out when and where to show up? Just a date, just a time, just a website address is not going to be that interesting. Instead, we want to use our storytelling skills. We want to use our creative skills to try to get people interested in what we're doing.
The other thing is pay attention to your click-through rate. After you get good at this, you're going to know what a good click-through rate is for your ads. And if some of your ads are dropping below a certain point, you kind of want to create your own kill switch. And so this is what's a good click-through. This is really bad. If any of your ads go below that point, you can just sort of turn them off, kill them, and redesign the ad to appeal to your audience better. Redesign your ad so it's more appealing to your audience.
Darby, that's a really great teaser, because in part two, we're going to be talking about Facebook ad strategy, things like what sort of analytics will Facebook give you? What sort of data can you look at? How do we respond to that data? Should we keep ads running or should we turn them off? And we'll get into things like retargeting. And so just to recap, in today's episode, we looked at things like boosting posts versus creating ads from scratch. We looked at the different types of audiences that you can create, and you want them to be certainly a level of detail that is effective, but not so detailed that Facebook can't find the right kinds of people. We talk through things like budget and placement and schedule, and then finally a few tips about creativity. And now, listeners, we want to hear from you. What has been your experience with Facebook ads? Have you had success? Do you have stories or tips you want to share with our fellow listeners? Email us at podcast@umcom.org, and we just might share your story on a future episode. And of course, you can use that email, podcast@umcom.org. to send us any feedback or topic suggestions for the show. We'd love to hear from you. Finally, if you have found this podcast to be helpful and you'd like to make sure other church communicators like yourself find this resource, the two biggest things you can do are share this episode with your friends and colleagues and leave a review in the Apple Podcast, Google Play Music, or whatever service you're listening to right now. Thanks again for listening to the MyCom Church Marketing Podcast.